The handouts that I gave out last week, does everybody have one? Everybody have theirs? You got yours? All right. Is it going to be helpful in your study? I guess, I take it the children are going to children's church, or I said something very offensive, one of the two. It's always scary to the speaker when everybody jumps up and runs. We're going to finish today what we started last week, part two of the emphasis or the statement of faith on repentance. If you'll bow your heads with me. Father, we want to hear from you today. Not from me. I don't want to hear from me, and I know they don't. We want to hear from you today. We want to hear from your word, your presence, your will. We love you, Lord. We give you highest place here today. Touch every heart, touch every ear. For that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I will remind you, this is the third statement of faith. Not particularly in order. We're just going to cover them. The number one is two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. Number two, there is a real hell, now and eternally. It was created for Satan and all those that choose to rebel against God. And then today, I'm going to read you number three, so we'll remind you what we're talking about. Number three, the law of repentance is required for all. Without repentance, there is no salvation. There is no forgiveness. There is no future. There is no power to change. Listen carefully. Repentance is not an apology. They are not the same. Repentance is not an apology, but a recognition of wrongdoing, followed by a decision to change, followed by a life change. It's evident. This decision allows God to empower you with a life change far beyond your ability. Listen carefully to this one. Without the recognition and admission of a problem, God Himself cannot treat and heal the wound. I'm going to say it again. Unless you admit there's a problem, God cannot help. I didn't say unless you admit somebody else has a problem. If you have a problem, you must say, I have a problem, or God will not touch you. If you don't like it, I can't help it. That's the truth. That's the truth. All right, I'll quickly remind you what we went over last week. The definition of repentance is to think and act differently, to change one's mind into a different direction, a reversal of decision, a compunction for reformation, which includes regret. Who must repent? All. Whenever God decides, I emphasized over and over last week, when God decides, not when another man or another person or another influence decides, when God decides it's time for you to repent, you will repent, and it'll happen often. It's not going to be a very unusual thing. Why? Because all have sinned. What causes us to repent? And the Scriptures are in there if you want to review them, but not right now. What causes you to repent is the love of God. The Holy Spirit drawing you from darkness into light, into God's likeness and image. If others will not, why should I? Because I want the best for me and mine. We learn that if we want the best for me and mine, we'll do it God's way, and that is a requirement of repentance. All right, then we begin. What are the purposes of repenting? I'm going to quickly read. I'm not going to cover every scripture. Number one, brings us into kingdom life and values. Number two, brings and maintains mighty works in our lives. Number three, the lack of repentance causes hard hearts and woes. Number four, it brings power and righteous judgment into our lives. Now, has everybody here had enough of unrighteous judgment? So if we want righteous judgment, we're going to have to learn to repent. That way we can get it and we can have it. It comes our way and it leaves us. We give it to other people, right? All right. Number five, it brings others to salvation. Not just us, but it brings others to salvation. Number six, lack of repentance causes death. Hard heart. Deaf, hard heart. The lack of understanding, the lack of ability to see, to discern, and you end up like some of the politicians. Number 7. Our repentance will cause others to be changed or rebuked. Our repentance will cause others to be changed or rebuked, gives us the ability to forgive easily and forgive ourselves. I'm going to read that scripture because it leads into where we began today. Luke 17:3 commands us to take heed to ourselves. We consider ourselves first before we start looking at others and seeing how they ought to repent. If your brother, sister, aunt, uncle, friend, enemy, next door neighbor, even Bill Clinton, sins against you, rebuke him. Don't keep your mouth shut about it. Let people know what you know. When something's wrong, you know it's wrong. Even if it's the president, you can pray for him right after you say he was caught with his pants down and that's wrong. And it always will be wrong. And there's no excuse ever for that to happen. Rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. It don't say forgive him if he says, I never had sex with that woman. Oh, whoops, I got caught, I'm sorry. That's not repenting. Repenting is taking the blame and then making a mind change that I'll never do it again. That's what repentance is. And then you and I are required to forgive. Loosen from that. All right, let's begin today. Number 8. The only way to be forgiven is to repent. I thought we already covered that. No, we kind of been looking other directions. Now I'm going to tell you, the only way to be forgiven is to repent. Let me say it another way since we've gone through another study. The only way to have your sins loosed from you is to repent. The only way that your sins can ever be, Jesus decides to remember them no more, is for you to say, I did it. He's not going to forget your sins unless they're your sins. I'm trying to say this in different ways so we'll get it down. Don't ever think that you can go before a priest and he can do this and they're gone. Because it takes Jesus. Right? Don't ever think that you can say, I'm sorry if I offended you and it's okay. Because you put the if in there. So you didn't own up to it. If there's an if in there, you didn't own up to it, and it ain't forgotten yet. I'm sorry, it's just that simple. Come on, you know what? We need, in the United States, especially in the Christian church, we need adults large enough, big enough, mature enough to say, you know what? I did it, now what? Instead of saying, I did it, but it was my daddy's fault. It was my ex-husband's fault. It was that old church's fault. You know what? You're probably right, but I don't want to hear it, and it's not going to help you or I. Just, I did it, and I'm asking for forgiveness. And all of a sudden, Jesus decides to remember them against you no more. Whew, what a simple formula. All it takes is a little loss of your face. Believe me, we all got plenty of it. We all got plenty of face. We can lose a little bit. I'll stop there. Luke 17:4. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. I'll say it again. It doesn't say if you catch him, you forgive him. Come on, let's just get honest. Most of the sins that we've ever committed, nobody's ever caught us at. Well, Stan, are you telling me that I got to tell them things that they don't know? I'm not telling you nothing but the Word. I said when God tells you, you do it. I didn't say when Stan tells you. Because I can tell you all day and you can follow my word and we'll help you at all. I'm going to bring a stethoscope one day. I'm going to bring it. I'm going to check one of a couple of you once in a while to see if your heart's beating. I really am. When God moves on us, privately, to handle it privately, we take care of it. When He moves on us to handle it publicly, we publicly take care of it. And we don't say, I know I did wrong, but you know they ganged up on me. I did wrong, but the three-letter word that makes us a but. But. I wonder if Jesus doesn't look back and says, I died for your sins, but they're not your sins yet, so I didn't die for you. When they're yours, you let me know, and we can come to an agreement. It's a harsh statement, isn't it, Harry? When I know that my sins are my sins, and by the way, not by my definition. There's another thing you've got to get down. By God, by the Holy Spirit, sometimes we're informed of sin that we didn't even know was sin. And you can't say, but I didn't know. Because the minute He tells you, now you know. Oh, this is a hard thing. No, this is an easy thing. This is an easy thing. I learned it a long time ago. And I learned it kind of in reverse procedure. Because there's a lot of people out there that would like to remind you of things you did wrong. In fact, they take it personally. They want to follow you around forever, write your notes, write your letters, send your emails, talk about you, gab about you, about the things that you did wrong. And the way I learned, very simply, all right, I did it. Now what? That's right, I did it. Now what are we going to do about it? Are we going to dance or are we going to forget it? You know what? It taught me the way that I'm supposed to approach God. Not now what, because I know now what with God. I must go to Him. If I want this thing ended, I must say, I did it. I did it. Now I already know what the now what answer is. Now what answer is Jesus does not remember Him against us anymore. And all the provisions of the Bible are now mine. Number 9. It brings baptism. It removes the nature to sin. Did you know repentance doesn't make it easier for you to sin? It makes it harder for you to sin? Now that's a two-edged sword. Hard because you don't want to be embarrassed. But it's harder because the nature in you is being changed. It also brings the Holy Spirit and gives you future. Acts 2, 38 and 39. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there's no Holy Spirit without repentance. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. My word, my repentance could do all of that? Now I want to show you something here. Y'all like that scripture? Is that a good scripture? Look who said it. Peter. Peter said this. Peter, the one that denied Christ 3 times. Peter, the one that looked at Jesus and called Him a liar. Jesus was telling what's going to happen. Peter said, no way, Jose. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. The one Jesus called Satan. Now, how in the world did he get from there to here? I'm telling you something. Repentance does something good for us. It takes us from a lowly place and puts us on an exalted place. A place where Jesus Himself can use us now. Number 10. I got to keep moving or we're not going to get finished. Totally blots out sin. Brings times of refreshing from God. Brings the presence of the Lord. Anybody like the presence of the Lord? Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Now we just used a different word. You're not just having your sins being forgiven. You are being converted. That's changed for y'all. Changed. You're being changed from one thing to another, from death unto life, from a sinner to a saint, from imperfection to perfection, from no power to power, from unforgiven to forgiven. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Woo, that's good. That's good. What does blotted out mean? They're not anymore. So we literally have the right to do like Paul and say about him killing Christians, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do that. Now see, a liar says, I didn't do that because they haven't repented. One that repents can say, I didn't do that, and they're not a liar. Because it's been blotted out. Y'all think about that a little bit. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Man, why have we swept that word, repentance, under the carpet if it does so much? Number 11. Because you didn't sin, did I hear you say because you didn't sin? I better not have heard that. Let me tell you something. God Himself wouldn't talk so much about repentance if you didn't need it. He wouldn't have put it so many times in the Bible if we didn't need it. Absolutely. Well, you're a different person. You are converted. You pass from death into life. That's why you can say, I did not do that. Well, listen to me though. There's no such thing. There is no such... If you don't like the word sin, let's just drop it for a minute. I'll come through your back door then. There is not a person in this place that doesn't need to repent on a daily basis. On a daily basis. I can find one thing right off the bat. If you disagree with me, you need to repent from that. Because I'm reading Scripture to you. This is not my statement. I got more Scripture in this message than I've put in any of them. Because I want to make sure this is Stan's opinion. Now, I'll give you another one. I'm going to give you all kinds of reasons, profitable to your life reasons to repent. And if you tell me you don't need to, then you must not need anything else from God. You must not need anything. You must be already there. Maybe one of y'all, whoever that is, would like to come up and handle this, because I'm not there yet. I'm more like Peter. Number 11. Repentance heals our heart and our thought processes. God help me. One of the things God's beginning to do is I can hear what you think. I promise you that. God's beginning to do that thing He used to do in me. That's that prophetic thing. I'm telling you, we need to be careful. We need to be very cautious. My wife is beginning even to pick up on the look of it. I don't know how she does that, but she knows when it's happening. I don't know what that means, but she's calling me on it. Anyway, I've got to get back to the message here. I may laugh at your thoughts once in a while, but it's okay. Number 11, heals our heart and our thought processes. Acts 8:22. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. Now, I also tie the Scripture to it that the Bible says there's nothing that's impossible with God. So we know that this, whatever He is doing, it's not only possible, if with your help it's going to happen. But listen to it again. Repent of this wickedness of yours. Now, He wasn't preaching to sinners. He wasn't preaching to sinners. He was preaching to the church. And pray the Lord that if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven. Now we have an action. We got a lot of actions that we have to repent about. This is talking about the desire and the intent of our heart. I'm telling you, God can change the desire of your heart. And He wants to do that, but it's only going to come through repentance. It's easy for Him to forget the sin. As this says, it's a little harder for Him to change the heart. Let's just put it this way. It takes a little longer for Him to change the heart because He has to do it in unison with you. I had someone tell me this week that the propensity of my heart is to be angry. Isn't that a nice word? You've got to be in church for a while to hear propensity. That means I can't control my anger. Well, let me tell you the answer to that. You don't want to. If there's something in your heart, Paul said, the things that I want to do, I can't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. He only said that once. You only see that recorded once. And that was out of anger and frustration, and it started to change. He never had to say that anymore. Because God heard him cry. Not just forgive me my sins, but change the propensity of my heart. I'm pretty sure that means the desire. I'm pretty sure. Inclination. Number 12. Repentance changes our work and our life habits. There will be permanent change and others will see that change. Acts 26:20. But declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem, that takes care of the outside world and the inside and the church world, and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent. Now, once again, I'm going to tell you what that said. Judea, those that praise God. Gentiles, those that don't know God. So that includes the church and everybody else. Proclaim to them, proclaim to the church and everybody else. Proclaim to the church and everybody else. Wants to see. Don't miss that. Now, here's what it says. That they should repent. That's what I'm doing today, right? Okay. Turn to God and do works befitting repentance. Do the works befitting repentance. Let's just say it another way. Stop talking about it and do it. Don't tell me you got an alcohol problem and you show up in the bar every week or you go to the grocery store and buy alcohol. Don't tell me you got a chocolate problem if I open your pantry and I see four bags of Snickers. You bought it. Don't repent for something that you are planning to do. You make provisions to do. I guarantee you, if you don't want to eat sweets, don't put them in the kitchen. You'd be like me. You can roam around looking at the pantry saying, where in the world are sweets? I want something sweet. And they're not there. Now, Queenie's gaining weight. That's my dog, by the way. Do the works befitting repentance. Tell the church, tell the world. Do the works. I'm going to tell you something, and I'll be honest with you, and God will forgive me and help me, but nothing aggravates me more than somebody that says they've been a Christian for 20 years and they're doing the same stinking thing they were doing 20 years ago. Let me tell you what that means. There's not enough character or guts in that person to even get God's attention. Boy, where's my stethoscope? Did you see how quiet they got? There's not enough character or guts enough in that person. Don't depend on that person. Don't ever give them a job and don't depend on what they say. Because God doesn't. A man takes an assignment and he does it, got God's attention. That's the man God can use. If he always says, I'm going to, and he never does it, he says the same thing to God. Ooh, could stay there a while, couldn't we? 13. The lack of repentance brings great grief. Please always remember, the best way to read Scripture is read it reversed and regular. See what happens if, see what happens if. Okay? The lack of repentance brings great grief. 2 Corinthians 12:21. Unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already to the church, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Now, I shall bewail many. Can I tell you what that's saying? I'm going to cause many to moan. I love that King James. I will bewail many. I have to slip a King James in there once in a while. I will cause many to bewail, moan, because I'm going to call out their sin. Lack of repentance brings great grief. Remember this. The Bible says what's done in secret will be what? Shouted to the rooftops, exposed to many. And you know what? Many times he does that through the foolishness of preaching. And if that don't work, he'll bring along some prophetic. Quiet again. 14. Lack of repentance causes us to become confused and the fire of life to go out. Revelation 2:5. Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. What are the first works? Whatever God said right after repentance. In other words, let's get this cycle going again. This cleansing, purifying cycle. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. This is God speaking. If you don't get back in the repentance cycle, if you don't handle those little things that cause you a little burn, a little upset stomach, a little not sleeping at night, a little worry, did I not, whatever. If God's dealing with you, get back to it. Or God says, I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand. Now you know why some Christians, the fire's gone out. They're just old grouches, Harry, all the time. Or like maybe some people I met this week just going to tell you how it's supposed to be. Let me tell you how it's supposed to be. Repent. Because, man, your fire's out. Number 15. Lack of repentance moves God to fight against us. How many of you are big enough to arm wrestle God? All right. Revelation 2:16. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. You know, I just gave you the strongest one of all. I can't get any stronger than that. If you don't repent, God Himself will come and fight you. Number 16. The want to repent or the need to repent comes from God's love. We receive God's love and heart through repentance. Repentance gives us zeal, or God's heart gives us zeal. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Let me say it another way. Be as anxious to undo the sin as you were to do the sin. Be zealous about that. My word, even if you didn't know it, or if you did know it, when God says, hey, man, you be zealous about that. You be anxious. You be on fire to repent. Man, if necessary, you repent louder than necessary. But I'm overzealous about repentance. Be overzealous. Don't be timid about it. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and I expect a repent. That's another way to say it. Now, as many as I love. You remember my little statements about everybody in this place? Everybody in here thinks God loves them? Then you better expect some rebuke and some chastening. And it is not like the world would do. I don't like it when the world rebukes me. My dander gets up. But you know what? I happen to find out that the world wants something that I can't give them, and God wants something that I can. That's the difference. When God asks me something, to rebuke, to repent, or to change, that means the provision to do it is already there. It's the right time, it's the right place, it's God's way. It cannot fail. When the world says, so what? So what? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That's why I said at the beginning of this, who has to repent? All. 17. Repentance brings on praise and worship. Tana, you've been asking a question. Maybe we're touching the answer. Okay? Repentance brings on praise and worship. Repentance gives glory to God. Repentance gives power over plagues, over sickness, over disease. Maybe that's why the message is coming out. We're going to get this straight, right? Look at this. Number one, Acts 11:18. When they heard these things, they became silent. And they glorified God. What did they hear? The chastening and the rebuke. That's what they heard. They glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Man, I don't know if the attitude was exactly great, but so what? You know what I'm talking about here? He's talking about the Jews have to repent. Of course, they're saying then the Gentiles do also, and that made them feel good. Okay. However it comes. Just as long as we learn to repent, right? Okay, go back up to the next one. Revelation 16:9. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give Him glory. I'm going to tell you the two things that I saw in there. Always reverse Scripture to check it out. But if they're mad at God, they don't have any power over any kind of plague, no matter what that is. Financial, family, divorce, attacks of any kind, sickness, disease, they don't have that power. Repentance takes away that power. I mean, the lack of repentance takes away that power. And then the next one is that when they became silent, that means when they stopped defending themselves and they realized they had to take action, then they gave God glory. I'm going to give you a little simple formula here about praise and worship. People that won't open their mouth to praise and worship means they're still defending themselves. When they won't fall at God's feet and give Him glory, they're still defending their position. Do you know who I am? Yeah, I know who you are. You're the one that's scorched with great heat. I know who you are. I'm telling you, when you're in love with God and you've learned that repentance is not dangerous, it's safe, you don't mind in any position, like Peter, I give Him glory. Dirty rotten sinner. I don't care if I'm a dirty rotten sinner. I give Him glory. I have the right. I have the obligation to do that. You know what you just did? Yeah, I just repented from what I just did and I give Him glory. And now we're getting power over plagues. This is a pretty good study. Number 18. Repentance covers us with His righteousness. Luke 5:32. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now what does that mean? The righteous ones have already learned it. It doesn't mean they don't need to. It means they've learned it. That's why they're righteous. That's why they're covered with His righteousness. I'm telling you, when you get God's attention with repentance, He just falls all over you with who He is. Which He is righteous. He is holy. He is wise. He has all power. You want to be like Him? You want to be filled with what He is? You will learn to repent. Not because it's bad, because it is good. Most of you in this place will pay your taxes here at the end of the year. And you'll do it to stay out of jail. If you can do it under a bad threat, why can't you do repentance because of all the promises of God, which are much better than the little puny threats that the IRS can put on you? You get the mind of Christ, you won't be afraid of anybody. And you won't be afraid of God. You'll go to God because you know this is top notch. Okay. Number 19, it's the only way to be forgiven. Acts 5:31, Him God has exalted to His right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Only one way we're going to have our sins blotted out, forgiven, removed, heaven's our destination, not hell, is to go to Jesus Christ, the one that's seated in the right hand of God, Prince and Savior. Amen? Yes. Number 20, the only way to have life. 2 Corinthians 7:10, For godly sorrow produces repentance. Ungodly sorrow produces an apology. I'm sorry I got caught. I would have never done this unless you caught me. Come on, that's the way it really is, right? But godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. If the sorrow of the world produces death, what does repentance produce? Life and righteousness, holiness, wisdom. If the sorrow of the world, which is the sorrow of the world, the sorrow of the world is I'm sorry I got caught, produces death. See, Jesus don't catch you. He knew it all the time. All He's doing is reminding you. By the way, you're still alive, right? Even when we have sinned, we're alive long enough for Him to remind us. So we're not fear of dying instantly. Don't be afraid that God's around the corner going to kill us instantly. That's not what this is about. The Holy Spirit of the living God is close at hand, closer than a brother, to tap you on the shoulder and say, this will not lead you to life and godliness and righteousness and abundance. That's what this is all about. What you just did will hurt you. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt me. I don't want to hurt you in me or me in you. And I don't want to hurt the kingdom, so I change. And abundance comes. All right, 21. The only way to have true joy. Luke 15:7. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Now, did you know it doesn't say one sinner that comes to salvation? I've heard all the churches quote that. It's not what it says. It says one sinner that repents. Then over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now, how many of you want to cause joy in heaven? Then don't be one of those that don't need to repent. Whew. Come on, look at that scripture. Just turn your head just a little bit and you'll see it that way. The reason you have to turn your head is because you have to get it a little different than you've been taught all your life. Don't be the one who doesn't need to repent. Make heaven happy. Be one of those that needs to repent. Come on, I'm going to just swallow a couple of times and take it in that way. It'll be good for you. All right, 22. Sinning ceases. I didn't say the need to repent ceased. I said sinning ceases. Mark 1:4. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sinning. Now, once again, I'm going to remind you, this is hard to understand. There are two types of sin. And we get them confused. I wish there was two different words. We may just make up another word, just enter it into theological seminary. But this is it. There's a sin unto death, and there's a sin not unto death. There's a sin that will surely send you to hell. There's a sin that won't surely send you to hell instantly. Two completely different. They're described in the Bible plainly. What I'm telling you is the sinning that is sin unto death and the sinning that will bring you to sin unto death, they begin to go away. Repentance causes that. Repentance causes it. The reason I want to remind you of that is because of something I said earlier. You know good and well, if I go out and rob a bank, we don't have to talk about that too much, about whether that's right or wrong, right? But what? What if God comes to me and He said, I need you to fast. I want you to fast 7 days. Because that's going to be good for you, good for your family, good for the church, good for the kingdom of God. That rebuke is not because of sin. It's because we've been eating too much, or we haven't been taking the thing serious, and God's got to get our focus back again. You understand what I'm saying? Two totally different things. Just because the Holy Spirit touches you, and by the way, you forget it. Yeah, God, I'm going to do that. And you forget. Man, the first thing I do is come up and say, hey, Kevin, let's go to lunch. Oh, yeah, let's go to lunch. And I forget what I told God. I'm going to fast today. And the Holy Spirit says, Kevin, and what I said, it's not sin yet. Or if it is sin, it's that sin unto death. The Christians want to quickly call everything sin. So if you want to use it, if you want to use that sin, it's not sin unto death. Hey, I thought I told you that the best thing for you this week is to fast. This is not sin unto death. This is dealing with something that God wants better in you. A little rebuke, a little chastisement. It's okay. Don't get down. Don't get bummed out. Be quick to repent. I'm sorry, God. I just forgot. Well, He knows what happened. He knows what happened. He wants you to say it. I forgot. He don't want you to say, well, that stupid pastor came along and talked me out of it. Because now there's a second sin he has to deal with. Don't add sin on sin. So we're not talking about, I'm talking to Christians here. And I'm not expecting you to hear me say that we're talking about dealing with sin unto death all the time. But I'm promising you there's something every day that God wants to touch in our lives. And we need to quit thinking that it's life or death. It is life or death. But I mean that it's hell or heaven. This is a situation. God wants to deal with it. He wants us to say, all right, I guess you're right and I'm wrong. Let's do it your way. Just that simple. 22, sinning ceases. For the remission of sin. 23, repentance. Now this is strange. This goes against everything that psychologists want to tell you. But repentance produces good fruit in your life. What psychiatrists want to tell you is if you can go back and you can find that lineage of sin, that, what's the old term that the church really wants to beat us up with? Where they tell you the sins of the father pass to the sins of the son? Generational curses. If you can just acknowledge generational curses, all will be okay. That is a lie from hell. You begin to acknowledge that the generational curse has more power than the blood of Jesus, you will walk in that generational curse all of your life. What I would suggest you do is repent for ever believing that malarkey. I'm telling you, nothing can get through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing. Your generational curse just turned to a generational blessing when you took on a new generation. You took on a new family. Maybe it used to be true. It's not true anymore. Because the river of the blood of Jesus that I know about, nothing swims through. It produces good fruit. Matthew 3:8. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Again, a different angle. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Let me tell you something. If God touches us and says, don't do that, or do that, and we change into that request, I promise you the fruit that comes out is going to be better than yesterday. Or He wouldn't have bothered with us. You understand that the CEO of the kingdom of God is a good businessman. Good businessman. And he's in for the profit. He wants a better kingdom today than he wanted yesterday. And he gives us a way to participate. It's bonuses, benefits from the kingdom. And he says, I'll tell you what, the CEO walks in and says, if you'll just do it, I believe if you'll just change it and do it this way, your bonus will go up. And you're going to say, no, boss, I don't think so. You know what? Physically, if your boss tells you that, you do it. Because he's always right, and then even if you think he's wrong, you better not say so. Because even if you're right, you still don't get your bonus. He is the boss. Because he's going to prove. He's going to prove to you he's the boss, too. Now, God never misses it. What he says, he's right. And if he says, if we can just change that a little bit, we're going to do better. We're going to do better. Produces good fruit. 24. True repentance is forever. False repentance disappears. 2 Corinthians 7:8. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I repented from regretting it. I like it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now listen, I get up and I say, by the mind of Christ, I'm going to tell you something. And I look and I see your countenance fall. And I regret it. And then I get to thinking about it. I say, wait just a minute. I told them the truth. And I say, no, I don't regret it. And I look at you and say, you'll get over it. You'll get over it. You'll be better when you get through. That's exactly what happened in this scripture. True repentance, no matter what it feels like for this moment, will get better. False repentance, I have to repent from false repentance. I used to regret it. I don't regret it anymore. I made up my mind I was right in the first place. Or I was wrong in the first place, whatever applies. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Don't regret repentance and don't regret doing what's right. Stick with it. It'll make you stronger tomorrow. You repent today, you're going to be stronger tomorrow. If you falsely repent today, you're going to be weaker tomorrow. All right, 25. Good one. Brings knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 2:25. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will, Satan's will. Now, we're going through a little situation with a family right now that has decided that they know better than we. I don't think they're doing that in humility. They are doing it in opposition. And I say, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, they may know the truth. Can I tell you something? Let me give you a wild scenario that I've seen before, and I know you've never seen it in this house, where the pastor's wrong. You've never seen it in this house where the pastor's wrong. I know that. Here's the scenario. Let's just lay it out. What the last decision I made is dumber than post. Just the dumbest thing I've ever decided. The first person that comes to me and say that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen must repent before you and I get wisdom. Why? I've given you a bunch of scriptures on why. But the last one I gave you said there is no wisdom or knowledge or understanding when there's no repentance. Come on. The proper procedure when I do something wrong is for you to pray about it. Then there's no need for both of us to repent, just me. Right? You don't come to me and say, I don't think you're running the church right. Well, guess what? I agree with you, and you just sinned. You all know me well enough. No, I don't think I'm running the church right. I wish I was running it perfect. I'm praying about it. How about you? It's taken me a little while to figure this one out, by the way. I've had to get on both sides of the fences to get this one down. Because I know sometimes the pastor really does goofy things. Told you before I gave up to God, I used to think that the requirement for pastors were that all their brains had to be sucked out. I said it openly. I repent. Just half. Actually, all their physical brains must be sucked out. They have to start learning on leaning on the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Now, come on. If you're a wife and you decide your husband's dumb, well, the first time you say it, you've sinned. If you think he's dumb, you better spend just a lot more time on your face. Or you better go back to SOF 1, Statement of Faith 1. How can two walk together unless they're agreed? There's only two solutions when we're not in agreement. And it's both, you're not going to like it, but the only division is sin. That was quiet. In humility, correcting those that are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Listen, if you really believe that anybody's mistake is because of the snare of the devil, pray. Come against the devil. Don't come against the person. You can stand up. You can do like Jesus did. Satan, get behind me. But you better know what you're doing. You better know that this is the mind of Christ in your statement. Otherwise, you need to stick with the Word. You need to stick with the Word. Stick with the Word, okay? 26, I've got to go on. Leads us to perfection and greater works. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let's go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance, but doing it. And let's move on to the true doctrine, which is have faith in God. Do you understand that if we could get everything and have faith in God, we would finally not need to repent about anything? If we totally, totally trusted God, we wouldn't have to repent about anything. So we're going to get this fundamental principle down, and we're not going to spend much more time on it. What is the fundamental principle? That is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God today, yesterday, and tomorrow. God, I want to turn from coming short. I want to repent from coming short. And God's saying, well, good, I'll introduce one more principle of faith to you. By the way, faith is the only thing that pleases God. Right? Okay. Then have faith that I'm telling you the truth. Perfection. Let us go on to perfection. And greater works called faith. All right, 27. Turning back from repentance mocks Jesus and His sacrifice. I've heard some words this week, last week, week before. I've never been to a church where I hear the truth like it's preached here. Y'all ever heard that before? And then the very next words, I don't think you hear from God. Come on. I will say it to you again. Turning back from repentance mocks Jesus and His sacrifice. Hebrews 6, verse 5. Once you've tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. I committed adultery, God, I'm sorry. I go back and I do it again today. I committed adultery today, God, I'm sorry. Tomorrow, I committed it again, God, I'm sorry. The next day. I committed it again, God, I'm sorry. Hey. Don't use this message like a fool. Don't do that. I've been to churches that do that. I've been to churches that tell you that every time you repent, God forgets. I'm sorry. There's sin unto death. And then there's that other stuff. And when you're dealing with the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not, then you don't discuss it. And you don't try to persuade God it's okay by doing it over and over and over and over and over. It says that you will put Him, the Son of God, to an open shame. You mock His crucifixion. Let me remind you of something. I'm sick and tired of hearing churches that preach that there are no requirements for being saved. That God paid the price, therefore you don't have to. You never heard me say that. I said many times He's taken on sickness and disease so you don't have to. That is the truth. But let me tell you something. His was a costly, costly thing that He did for a costly, costly salvation. And if you treat it cheap, He's going to treat you like cheap. If the death of Jesus Christ pleases you, you are a sinner. If the death of Jesus Christ makes you happy, you are a sinner. You have a perverted mind. The death of Jesus Christ should put pressure on you every time you think about it. It should put pressure on you to remember that He paid for something that you did. And if you do it again, you're asking Him to take the pressure again. You're asking Him to be shamed openly one more time. That is not repentance. Repentance is this. I'm sorry I hurt you, Lord. I don't want to do it again. And I mean it. That's what repentance is. An apology is, I'm sorry that I offended you, Kevin. Well, you know what? I didn't see you suffer any pain for that. And so it's really not burdening my heart a whole bunch. But if I can see the death of Jesus Christ because I sinned, maybe I might not do it again. Okay. 28. Repentance gives us a future and an inheritance. Hebrews 12:17. For you know that afterward, when He wanted to inherit the blessing, He was rejected, for He found no place for repentance, though He sought it diligently with tears. You remember what I said last Sunday, prophetically, I began to speak to you that God doesn't want to hear any more tears. He don't want to hear any more bleeding hearts. He just wants you to do it. And I was talking about worship and praise, but let's just apply it to repentance too. This man had toyed with Jesus too much. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he wanted to do everything that he wanted to do, and he still wanted the inheritance. I even got my own kin folks that feel that way. That they can just say anything and do anything they want, and they're going to get the inheritance of eternal life. And they're fooling themselves. He was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. That did not mean he didn't find an altar. My word, in Bible times there was altars everywhere. And they went to the temple daily and offered sacrifices. What it's saying is that he wouldn't repent, which means change his lifestyle, change his direction. He wouldn't do that. Though he sought it diligently with tears. What does that mean? That means every time he sinned, he fell on his face and boohooed for a while. But he would not get up and have enough character and guts to change. My word, we'll look at a drug addict and I had a man used to work for me. His name was Mac. And he had an alcohol problem. And everybody in the world tried to get him to stop that in every way they could. They even prayed for him. And the doctors one day, of course, the only people that have intelligence are doctors, so now it's really from the mouth of God. When the doctor says, if you keep doing that, you're going to die. Now everybody else told him that, but they're stupid. They didn't have the doctor in front of their name. And one day, sitting on his mother's porch drinking, keeled over dead 2:00 in the morning. What killed him? lack of repentance. It wasn't the alcohol. The alcohol was just, if it hadn't been that, it had been something else. If it hadn't been that, it had been drugs. If it hadn't been that, it had been fast cars, fast women, fast whatever. It had been something, because repentance is what gives you life. The lack thereof gives you death. It doesn't even make any difference. Don't try to name sin. Name repentance. Just meet it head on and say, I guess I won't be doing that anymore. And mean it. Or you'll lose your inheritance. Alright, if you look at the bottom, I'm nearly finished. F. Is there true and false repentance? Yes. Here's the only true repentance. Number one, spirit to spirit. A. The spirit of man repenting to God the Spirit. The only true connection. The spirit that God put in that man, or the spirit of man, to God Himself, which is a spirit. When that makes the connection, there's true repentance. B. The spirit of man, or the spirit of God in man, to the spirit of God in man. Then there's a connection. What am I saying there? God's not going to always require you to repent to another man. When He knows that that man will not receive it, He does not try to make a connection that cannot be made. Understand me? Okay. False repentance. Taught from pulpits a lot. Man to God for selfish reasons. If I repent to God so that I can get an inheritance, it's not true repentance. Even though I know it's hanging in the balance, it must be that I don't want to hurt Jesus again. Man to man, or man to God for selfish reasons, and then B, it's man to man to make peace. You know, I'd just like to stop this war with you, Harry. Even though I know he's doing wrong. I want to apologize to you. You just wasted your breath and my ears. And you wasted God's time. If you don't think you're wrong, you don't say you're wrong. You just pray if the other guy's wrong. Don't do it to make peace. Sometimes repentance makes war. You'll have to think about that. Three, both types may be required by God. Only one will prosper. That is, the obedience to God. The Spirit of God in man to God, the Spirit. Gee, what do I repent from? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. There's a lot of people who need their land healed in this room today. It may be contingent upon your repentance. Number one, any and all sin, what do I repent from? Any and all sin, as God and His Word reveals, for preaching, teaching, and God's personal visits to you. Plain enough? Any and all sin, as God and His Word reveals. Two, I repent from being slow to respond to change and resisting change. If I have a thought in my mind that it's only going to work the way I think it'll work, I need to repent. And then I need to repent if I'm slow to respond to change. Y'all ever heard of cholesterol? Do you know that without cholesterol you die? You die deader than a doornail. You know what kills you with cholesterol? It's the lack of change in your vessels. If your vessels and arteries expand and contract on a daily basis, cholesterol can't build up because there's nothing for it to cling to. But if you're rigid, if you don't ever exercise, if you don't ever get hot once in a while, if you're always just, you're going to die from cholesterol. Because your old blood flow, the pipes are just rusting shut. I'm promising you God knows what He's doing. And He's going to put things in front of you, whether you're 8 or 88, to cause you to flex, change. Ooh, I don't like that one. Whoa, whoa. God says, yeah, but I'm breaking up that cholesterol. I'm saving your life. Be quick to change. We repent from bad attitudes and bad habits. We must be quick to repent from bad attitudes and bad habits. Number 4. We must repent from not putting God, His Word, His will, His law, above and in front of all personal business, jobs, wants, wishes, needs, pressures, vacation, grandchildren, money, television programs, sleep, eat, what I want, what I don't want. Let's just get them all in a pool, repent from them, stomp them in the ground, and let God have His way. Am I required? You're going to like this question. It may not be on your paper, but it's on the new ones. Am I required to be perfect today? Am I required to be perfect today? Yes! I got posed with that question the other day. Caught me a little off guard. I got it straight now. You're just wanting a perfect person. Yes! Yes! The answer is yes. Perfect! I want you perfect. I want me perfect today. And in my quest to be perfect, God's going to reveal the imperfections and make me more perfect. Every day, every day. Listen. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 10:14. If you want to write that down. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hey, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Yeah, let's be perfect. 1 John 2, verse 5. But whoever keeps His Word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as Jesus walked.
Amen.
I would wait for the biggest to the last, wouldn't I? All right. Now, come on, guys. How many of you know that I am perfect? Come on. You're going to need to repent if you don't say yeah. I just read your scripture. It makes you say yeah. I got you in the corner. Don't try to get out. How many of you know that I am perfect? You know why? But there's one other thing. And you're right. The blood of Jesus says that I am. But there's one other thing, and you know it. You believe in your heart, and I want everybody to believe this about me, and I want to believe it about you, that if God says change, I'll change. And that's what makes me perfect. Not because of the last thing that I did or said. Please don't judge by that. Okay? That in itself, that obedience to God, the repentance, makes me perfect. In your eyes, probably not. But I don't mean to be rude, but your eyes don't count. Your eyes don't count. It's Jesus that counts. Come on. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm trying to build you up. If the attitude of the heart is correct, you are perfect. If not, you're going to miss the inheritance. Hasn't got anything to do with the action. It's the attitude of the heart. I don't want to crucify Jesus again. And you know what else? I don't want to cause you to stumble. Man, if I get those two things down, I am perfect in the eyes of Christ. Now He is open to enter into my bedroom, my living room, my office, my work, my play, and say, Stan, and whatever you're doing shuts off. You're going, yes. And then He can say to you what He needs to say. And unfortunately, it may not agree with everybody else. Tough, but the milk's still good. I won't say the whole thing. I. Is this a one-time happening? No. I'm going to read you two verses of Scripture. Make sure you write it down. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's an ongoing thing. Second verse. 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Anybody in this room, if you think the message of the cross is foolish, you need to get to know God. Right now, you're perishing. But to those who are, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Not to those that are saved, but to those of us that are being saved. In that, we recognize the power of God. That's what it says. You and I, working and walking with God, saying, I'm sorry, please help me change that. Him talking to us, we know that's the very power of God to bring us to the fullness and the likeness of God, to the abundance of God. So it's easy for us to recognize that this is the power of God. I'm telling you, the first time God talks to you about anything, you have just seen the power of God. He talked to you without a mouth. You heard it without understanding. And understanding then came. Probably after you worked on it a while. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is not going to do it the way man does it. He's going to do it the way God does it because it's so much better. Now, the final statement on your paper. It is not sin that kills you. It is the lack of continual repentance and change. Why don't we just do something? Why don't we repent from all of our old beliefs and we just get to the fact that it's not sin that's going to kill us? How can I prove that to you? Everybody in this room knows that sometime in their life they were visited by the Holy Spirit and they were told by the Spirit of the living God, those of you that are saved, that this is not going to work and you fell and you repented. The problem is we were taught that that took care of it. Well, in a way it did and in a way it didn't. For that moment, you're as clean as the driven snow. You're washed. Now it's up to the Holy Spirit to keep you that way. You got an old dirty gas tank on your boat. Water got in it. It don't run so good. You take that tank and you clean it out and you dry it out. And I mean, it's just as shiny and everything, but there's nothing in it. The motor still don't run. Yeah, but my gas tank's clean. But the motor still don't run. What do you got to do? You got to be filled. Filled with what? Filled with the knowledge of God. How's that work? The Holy Spirit comes and He writes a new law on your heart every day. Not once, but every day. You read your Bible today, you come tomorrow, read it, and you find out there's something new in there. Every day, God writes a new law on your heart. You know that thing that was an A-plus yesterday? It's an F today. That's the power of God. The thing that I let you get by with yesterday, I'm telling you, it's going to bring you to destruction, so I'm talking to you about it today. Now, this is not a destructive or a demeaning message. If you'll hear me correctly, this is the most uplifting thing that I've ever said to you. On a daily basis, God will give you one more formula to climb from glory to glory, from prosperity to prosperity, from health to health, from wisdom to wisdom. And that makes, where you're 8 or 88, our walk exciting. I would be such a bored Christian if I thought that when I was 5 years old, God touched me and changed me, and that was all there was to it. That's like watching the same old Andy Griffith program, one, over and over and over and over and over. It might have been great the first time, but the 101st time it stunk. Right? I'm just telling you, God has something to offer you and I today that wasn't available yesterday. Amen. And I can't wait till tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. Because He's going to be fresh and He's going to be new every morning. And therefore, He wants us. How many of you know that God's not hidden downhill? So if He's going from glory to glory, all He's doing is offering us ways to follow Him, His footsteps, right into that same glory to glory. And it's done through a life of repentance. I'm just sorry I live? No. You got the wrong message. I am not sorry that I'm alive. I'm sorry that before the foundation of the earth, God knew me. I am now repented because I know that to be the truth. I'm sorry that I ever had a thought other than that. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt because of repentance that God, I am a very valuable creature to God. And I only figured that out through repentance. I know that I committed some things in the past and I've repented from even the thought of that things because they're not supposed to be there anymore. I will not return to the vomit. I am not a dog. I'm going for better things. I'm at the table. I'm not eating crumbs from the table. You hearing me? And I am not pushing away from that table. And if my Father wants to teach me one new rule of etiquette every time I show up to the table, well, I still get the greatest meal on earth. And I will never say to Him, leave me alone. Amen? Stand with me.